Om Shanti. Good morning. Okay, thank you everyone, and welcome to day two of the courses. I really appreciate the effort that the team has made, the double foreigner team, to try to bring some variety into the season. Do you appreciate their efforts? Yeah. So today this session has been titled Transforming Knowing into Experiencing. And perhaps it's something, a bit of a passion of mine, I would say. Because before I was a BK, I actually, just to give you a little bit of my story, I grew up in Melbourne. And I think since I was quite young, I was a searcher. Is everyone okay? Or should I wait just a minute? Maybe I'll just give you time to settle down. So I'd probably describe myself as quite a searcher. Is it okay? Ah, finally translation has come. And I went to university. And I took time out, and for a few years I traveled. And I think many of you have done something similar. But it was actually an unconscious thing that I ended up living in religious and spiritual communities. And I went all the way overland from Australia right through to London. And it was an amazing experience in the sense that I lived with some Sikhs, and I think you know that Sikhs, part of their philosophy is to take in travelers. I lived with Taoists, like in a Chinese temple. I lived with Muslims during Ramadan. In India, I lived with some yogis for about a week. That was about as long as I lasted. I went to the Ganges and had a swim in the Ganges and got amoebic dysentery. I went to where the Dalai Lama, you know, lives in Dharamsala. And I went right through the Middle East, Iran, Afghanistan, all those sorts of places. And everywhere I lived in religious communities, even in Europe, I lived in a Christian community in Belgium. And what happened for me was that everywhere there was lovely things that people were talking about, but I always, my question always was, how do you convert it into an experience? Everyone had nice ideas, nice philosophies, but how do you feel it inside? How do you experience something? And I settled in London, and I was working in London, and I used to shop around to all the spiritual groups in London. I used to say in those days it was like a spiritual supermarket, you know, everything was available. And I went to a place called the Spiritualist Association of Great Britain, which was founded by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, who wrote all the Sherlock Holmes books. And actually one day I saw a notice that B.K. Jenty was going to give a talk. I had no idea who that was. In fact, I thought it was a man, actually. But I went along to the talk, and as soon as I saw Daddy and Jenty Ben, I could see immediately that there was some experience in their face. You know how you can read people's faces, that they'd had some spiritual feeling. Amazingly, in those days, Jenty Ben gave the whole talk, and Daddy just sat in meditation. And you know how Daddy loves to talk, right? So anyway, some years ago I was reading a Mooli, and Baba was like checking. He said he was checking the children in all four subjects. And Baba said that we were all, you know, developing those subjects according to our capacity, but he noticed there was a lack of the experience, or of being the embodiment of experience, or the authority of experience. And Baba said actually there's two types of experience. The first type is using knowledge in practical. not just having a theory intellectually that I have faith in, which is not much different from all religions and traditions, but actually knowing how to apply it in a practical way in life. And the second one was really like, you know, when I meditate, or to really have deep, rich, transforming experiences internally. And both of them are so important. And many times I think that meditation is like converting the theory into a practical experience. We have the knowledge, but the meditation is to convert ideas, beliefs, philosophy into a rich feeling inside, because I believe that's what really sustains us on this journey. And to me, there's a few levels. First is to know. Second is to believe. And I feel the next 998 steps are educating myself how to experience, how to convert God's truth into my truth, basically. How to make it really work for me. And I've noticed for myself that most of us, the way we're educated, you know, we've all been educated, we collect information, you know. We know a lot about so much stuff, and I often wonder, you know, how valuable a lot of the knowledge is that we know. But spiritual education is something completely different. It's like taking one idea and going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Who am I? I am the soul. What did Baba say this morning? Even many of us still don't really understand or practice, know how to practice soul consciousness. And I love that idea that we're on this constant deepening and exploring the depth of experience. But what I noticed personally when I began is that our education has taught us rational thinking. You know, we're very good at taking an idea and going A, B, C, D and coming to a conclusion. Perhaps science has taught us that, and that's lovely. We're good at creative thinking, you know, taking an idea, let it grow and embellish. I think even we're okay at positive thinking, but experiential thinking, I think we've lost the art. In other words, to use thought to end up at a place of deep, rich, internal experience or feeling. Because I think that's what we crave in this life. Is that true? Is that true? Yes. And I remember in the 1980s, in 1985, maybe I should ask, who was around in 1985, can I ask? One, two, there's a few of us. Baba actually asked all the double foreigners to do the course again. And he called it the Realization Course. And you know, when Baba said it, a few of us thought, what? Do the course again? But Baba said something very interesting to the double foreigners. He said, you know the knowledge, you believe the knowledge, you teach the knowledge, but you don't experience the knowledge. And then Baba said a line that has always been etched on my memory track. Baba said that every point of knowledge has an associated experience. Every point of knowledge has an associated experience. And what that really means, because in the world, once you know something, you know it. That's like the end, finish. I know that, I move on. But here, that's the beginning. You know, our quest is to explore the depth. And often I think, you know, what does Baba say to us? He says, children, churn the knowledge. And I often feel that when he says churn, he means experience. And just try it. When you hear that next, just change churn to experience. It gives a whole different flavor, at least in English. It gives a whole different flavor that, because sometimes I think we take it as some intellectual exercise, sort of some philosophical exercise, but actually Baba's saying, the more you churn, it's like the more you take your mind so deeply into an idea, it produces a feeling. It's like you You have a fruit and you extract the juice out of the fruit, which is some sort of internal feeling. It's like, I know I'm a soul, I believe I'm a soul, but as I realize it, I feel peace. And that's really what I'm wanting, the peace. I know Baba, as I realize Baba, I feel love. Even I would say, as I understand, I know the tree, as I realize the knowledge of the tree, I would say it produces the feelings of tolerance and acceptance. So each aspect of knowledge has an associated experience, and it's these things that I think make the journey, you know, our spiritual journey, really rich. So what I want to do this morning is a few different things. And we're going to start with a little exercise, and I hope I've got enough of these, but I'm going to ask if a few of you can hand some of these out, if it's okay. Just a little exercise, just to give yourself an idea of how much you experience. It's a little bit of a reflective exercise, just for about 15 or 20 minutes. And there's a first question just asking you, what was your most special experience since you've been with Baba? And when we finish this little exercise, oh, that's great, thank you. I might just ask a few of you to share your experiences. Now, can we do this in silence? Can we do it in silence? And I'm not sure whether there's any translation. There is. Oh, okay. Okay. So can I ask how you're going? You finished? Okay. Just for a few minutes, if you can find a partner, someone you don't know, so that might mean you have to get up and move somewhere. And just share your experience of the first question, A, B, and C. So just for a few minutes, if you want to stand up and find someone in the room and share your experience, someone you don't know preferably. Is that okay? I hardly had the courage to stop you. The talking was... So thank you, everyone. Would anyone like to share your experience with the whole group of just the first question, A, B, 1, A, B, and C? Anyone like to? Just a couple? Love to hear. Yes, please. Can you please just introduce yourself and where you're from as well, thanks.
Om Shanti. So I'm a sister. I've connected with Peace Village and Boston. I live in Maine, 3.5 hours from Boston and 8 hours from Peace Village. Anyways, I want to share this because I'm wondering if this will help anybody, particularly any new students. You know, I don't know if you all have this form, but when I have to go to Madhuban, I have to fill out this form. It always says, I think they just changed the form, but it always used to say, do you have 100% faith in Bap Dada? Well, I've been in Gyan for 22 years, and really, when I first came into Gyan, no, I thought, this is not what my idea of God is, for sure. So I actually left Madhuban for about 5 days, went to a hotel, and sat there, and I was just so distraught because I thought I'd found it, it was my answer, and you know, it took about 5 days, I sorted it all out in my head, and I said, okay, at the worst, it's not real, but I love the words, and I really take such a great benefit from this, so back I am, and I was all, you know, I settled it, okay, I'm back. And, you know, that experience I'll just put on the side, but the words and it was just so wonderful for my life. Anyway, so every year I get this form. It says, do you have 100% faith in Bob Dada? And every year I lose the form. I'm the last one to turn it in. So, and I always say, yes, I have 100% faith. So about 7 years ago, I said, okay, Baba, I was just, you know, I was just having a chit-chat in my living room or whatever. I said, okay, Baba, I am really sick and tired of lying on this form. I don't have full faith. I really wished I did. I'm always losing the form. But I'm going to lie again, and I'm going to say, yes, I have full faith in Bob Dada, but please understand, it's really a blessing for myself, because I hope someday I really do. Okay, so then I went to Australia, and I always like to do a little trip before I go to Manabon. So actually, I was out hiking around, having fun in Australia, and I show up at Manabon, Pandababan. No, actually, I was in Gyantsarovar, and I was only there like a day, and they asked me to conduct meditation, and I'm thinking, oh my, there is no way, I'm not in very good shape spiritually to be up there conducting meditation. So I go up on the gadi, and I hope no one else does this, but in my mind, you know, I'm trying to look right, but in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, Baba, you know, these are your children. Where are you? Come here. You know, I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know. You know, I had no idea of anything. You've got to come here. You've got to help me. I'm really sorry. I'm not in good shape. But, you know, the face doesn't show that, but inside it's all this. And all of a sudden, I'm not kidding this now. I'm not kidding. All of a sudden, so I'm looking out, and all of a sudden, I didn't see anybody. My eyes flipped, and I saw inside my head. And in my head, it was like a beehive. It was completely empty. And I know, I hope that doesn't mean anything, but that's what I saw. And then, in the back of my head, I saw this arm come through. And then I saw another arm. You know, I was begging Baba to come, but no way, I'd never ever anticipated this. And then, all of a sudden, the whole chest comes in his head. And I was just like, I just couldn't believe it. I was like, wow. And then his eyes were aligning with my eyes, and I lost awareness. That was it. And I had this incredible feeling like I was finished. My responsibility up here was finished. I mean, it was deep. I knew it. And that was it. I lost awareness. I have no vision, no nothing, until that meditation experience ended. But, and then of course I was just aware, and I got up and walked off the stage. But that experience I wanted to share, because now I can really say I have full faith in the experience of Bob Dada.
Thank you. That was wonderful. Is there anyone else? Nancy, yes. Has anyone else had an experience of Baba coming right inside from behind their head? That's unique.
Om Shanti. I'm Nancy, but no longer. Now I'm Farishta 7. But I'll tell you about that. That's part of the experience. Second experience. But the first experience, oh, I've had so many, but this was one that was amazing. I took Ian in Mauritius 11 years ago. And nobody ever told me anything. I was walking up to the restaurant. My family had come over to meet me. I was traveling the world looking, searching. And they came. And I was just use it doing my normal, going to have my wine and my meat and my cigars and whatever else. But I saw this little tiny signpost. It was like a footpath sign. And I don't know why it had Raj Yoga written on it. And somehow I was standing, looking at it, and I thought, why am I looking at this? I don't want to do exercises. I was 68 then, and so I walked on, and truthfully Baba, I don't know which Baba it was, Grandma Baba, threw a rope round me and pulled me back to that shrine. And there was a tiny telephone number, found a piece of paper in my pocket, and wrote that number down, and I was allowed to go. And I went up to have my usual rubbish of a meal. And when I got back to my pension, I took this piece of paper out of my pocket, threw it in the rubbish, but it made me take it out. 3 days it sat in the dressing table until I had to phone it. And the sister said, go to the bus stop at 8 o'clock in the morning. So I went to the bus stop at 8 o'clock in the morning. And there was mother and daughter standing in their white saris and said, we're going in the bus. So I got on the bus with them about an hour and got off and walked around this corner. And there was this white building, and it was said the lighthouse. Baba's flags were flying, and the blue sky, and it was so lovely. So we walked round to the front. I was told to sit in the foyer, and there were all these beautiful pictures and sayings in English, sitting there, and these baristas wandering around with their bare feet, gliding. So anyway, then Sister Rupa came, took me into a little room, and she told me she wanted to tell me something. And she told me to... She told me I was a soul, and then she said about the Supreme Soul. Well, I actually knew that because I'd done quite a lot of Tao meditation and different things. But then she hit on the cycle, and the cycle just buzzed me. That was me. And that was, but then what happened? Am I taking too long? Yes, well, this is the bit though. I stayed in Mauritius for 5 months, and it was superb. That was flying, and a beautiful family. And when I went back to I was coming back to the UK, I had bought a bag and filled it with books and everything to share all this wonderful news with everyone in Scotland. I mean, how they were going to be so excited and what have you. Well, anyway, we were at the airport, and the man said to me, you're 20 kilos overweight. And it wasn't me. Out of my mouth came this, but this is God's bag, and God doesn't pay. And that's what happened. He went and spoke to his boss and came back and said, okay. And I never... Anyway.
Thank you, Nancy. So who's going to, when they check in on their way back, who's going to... try your check-in when you have excess baggage. You've given us all a hint, Nancy.
Eu morava do lado do centro de Raja Yoga, no Rio de Janeiro, num apartamento.
She used to live in Rio, just beside the center, in Rio de Janeiro.
E tinha uma sala de baba e oferecia bogue todos os dias para ele.
She was already in Gyan, and she lived just beside the center. And she used to offer a bug every day.
E dia, eu oferecia no apartamento, in my house, eu oferecia bug.
Ela oferecia bug na casa dela, não no centro.
Não, bem rápido. Eu acho que vou falar inglês. One day... Aí dia eu estava sentada meditando e de repente eu me senti na região sutil, num lugar muito leve. E eu vi Brahma Baba em pé lá.
One day she was offering bog and meditating and then suddenly she saw Brahma Baba standing in front of her.
Ele era muito alto e eu era como se fosse pequena. Na consciência, porque eu não era uma criança, mas a minha consciência olhou e falou, Brahma Baba. Aí eu falei, Baba, Baba. E ele não me ouvia.
She said she saw Brahma Baba so big and she felt so little like a child, and she said Baba Baba, but he couldn't hear her.
Aí eu puxei o pajama dress dele, o curta pajama, e ele virou assim para mim em câmera lenta. Ele olhou, ele virou e olhou e me deu um driste.
So she pulled his yes, and then he started looking around to see where she was, and then finally he gave her a driste.
Aí eu disse para ele assim, que eu faço? Aí ele disse, vá em frente.
So she asked him, what should I do? He said, go ahead, child.
Eu me senti muito leve, muito segura e fui em frente.
She felt very secure, very light, and she has been going ahead.
É, eu oferecia todos os dias o bogue e esse é um resultado de um esforço sistemático que de repente acontece. E eu acreditei nisso para o resto da minha vida, Brahmi, que o esforço é importante e temos que esperar o resultado dele.
Okay, she's saying that she thinks this is the result of a systematic effort that she has been taking, doing it every day, offering bogue and meditating. So she said it's really worth.
So thank you very much. I'm sure we could spend the rest of the day listening to wonderfully entertaining experiences. I actually remember in my very early days in London, I was only there for 15 months after finding Baba. And one day I went with Daddy to meet a man in the BBC who was responsible for a lot of the religious programming. And he was actually based in a little church in the inner part of London. And he was like a great scholar, especially of Christianity, but all religions. And I remember, you know, I was very, very new, but we walked into his office and he had a very large office. And I've never seen more books in a room. You know, there was bookcases full of books, books on his desk. There was just books everywhere. And it was really, I was, as I said, quite new and I suppose a little bit innocent. But he was obviously a hugely learned person. But you could take one look at his face and there was no peace in his face. And it really taught me how often, you know, we learn, we store things out in our intellect. But really, you know, often I feel that the greatest sustenance in this life is spiritual experience. And if I really reflect on my own journey, and I think, well, what really motivates me to keep going? What gives me zeal and enthusiasm? What inspires me to keep making effort? I would say spiritual experiences. Because when you really think, in your journey, and we just heard a few wonderful experiences, in your journey, you know, when you have a profoundly deep connection with Baba, or you feel completely loved, or there's a real sense of belonging, or Baba helps you really change something, that is such a motivation, isn't it, to keep going. And many years ago, do you all know Brother Jagdish? Does everyone know Brother Jagdish? I'm getting some hands there. He was an extraordinary soul who wrote a lot of the books, and he really was a great thinker. And I decided I wanted to spend a little bit of time with him to just, I suppose, churn and learn. I had some questions. And one night I went to his center in Delhi, and I said to him, I'd love to spend some time with you. And he said, I don't have much time. I've only got half an hour. So anyway, after dinner, we began to talk about 8 o'clock and we were still talking at midnight. We went for... so his watch extended. But I asked him one question. I said, What do you think is the most important thing in this life with Baba? And straight away he said, new experiences. And he said, to learn the art of creating new experiences, spiritual feelings, is what really motivates you. And I also remember, I think in probably my third or fourth time coming to Madhuban, we had a big conference in Delhi. And after the conference, all the foreigners came to Madhuban on a bus. Took us 22 hours. Wouldn't recommend it if I was you. But there was one brother who had come, and he was from a science background, and he'd done the course, but he had a lot of questions. And so during this 22-hour bus trip, he'd sit beside one person and question, and they'd sort of, you know, and then he'd move to the next seat, and then he moved to the next seat, and I think he covered the whole bus by the time we got to Mount Abu. And I remember we were thinking, well, what are we going to do with this brother? Because actually his questions were very good questions. And each time one question was answered, 10 more would emerge. And so someone suggested to take him to meet Didi Manmohini. And Didi Manmohini was famous for her drishti. You know, she was a real yogi. And many souls who couldn't meditate were often taken to meet Didi, and they'd have an experience. So we took this brother to meet Didi, and Didi just sat and gave him drishti for 2 minutes. And he had the experience of being a bodiless soul. I remember him saying he felt completely and utterly detached from his body. And it was amazing. All his questions were answered. And, it, you know, I think often in this journey, when we have an experience, have you noticed you answer your own questions? It's like an experience fills in a lot of the gaps that the intellect can't really answer. Because I feel, why is spiritual experience so important? Because, you know, I think many of us, and I'd like to ask, I'm going to ask you, when we're in our spiritual childhood, and we heard a few experiences here, we have some unique experiences. But then what happens after a while? Who had a lot of experiences in their childhood, but less and less as you go along in your Brahman journey? Virtually the majority of the room. And I think that it's like almost Baba gives us some special experiences at first. Then it's like we have to learn to create those special experiences. Because if the mind, the nature of the mind is to experience. And I feel that if the mind doesn't really taste rich, powerful, spiritual experiences, unconsciously it can start to return to the old experiences we had before. And these are like, you know, sensual experiences. Because that's the nature of the world at the moment, isn't it? The nature of the world is to experience through the five senses. And I often think, you know, this amazing soul, this tiny, tiny, infinitesimal spark is in the jail of the five senses. That's what life is today. That's the only avenue to have experience. And that's why, you know, everything today has to be bigger, louder, brighter, you know? Tastier, because that's the only avenue really for the soul to have some newness in experience. If not even sensual experience, emotional experience. And I think that's the experience of human relationships. And we know, you know, in human relationships there can be a sense of attraction, intimacy, belonging, all these feelings. And as we know, human relationships can give such highs and such lows, but it's still experience. And if we're not really taking from Baba, then sometimes the mind starts to subconsciously sort of move back into these realms. Even I would say spiritual experience, intellectual experience too. That, you know, when you realize something, it gives some sort of satisfaction. And that's why I think that spiritual experience is such an important part of our journey, and to learn the art of creating new feelings internally. And I remember once someone told me about a little experiment that a scientist did with a little fish. And he had a fish tank, and the little fish was swimming around the tank, and he would feed the little fish up one end of the tank. And then after a while he put a glass wall in the middle of the tank, and the food was up one end, and when the little fish went to get his food, he kept knocking his nose on the glass. And so after a while, after he did that many times, he began to swim in half the tank because he couldn't get through. And the scientist took out the glass so there was no obstacle, and the food was still coming in the end of the tank, and the little fish kept swimming in half the tank, and the little fish died of starvation. It is. It's not a very nice experiment. But it's a bit like, I think, we for half a cycle have known, you know, experience, essential experience and emotional experience, intellectual experience. And we've lost that art, really, of spiritual experience, where really I think Baba wants to take us into the original feelings of the self, you know, the original qualities, you know, the original relationship. And often I think that Baba sort of is suggesting us to dip into the essence of purity. You know, what does it feel like? Not just what do I believe, but absolutely what does it feel like? Dip into the essence of love. Dip into the essence of bliss. So that I really taste it. Because I think that is such, you know, a huge motivation in our spiritual life. And this is why one of the things I've loved to do is to think of my mind like a laboratory. You know, where I do experiments to create experiences. And, you know, have you ever thought how the mind works in the Golden Age? Have you ever thought how your mind will feel in the Golden Age? Because I think that there'll be minimum thought and maximum feeling, you know? I think more it'll be feelings. And you know when you see those beautiful pictures sometimes of one drop going into a pool in slow motion and it just goes plop and then the reverberations. I think just one thought and then maximum feeling of love or joy. Whereas today is maximum thinking and minimal thought. And it's almost like the more we think, maximum thinking and minimal experience. It's like the more we think, the less the ability to really experience. And that's where I think that if I start to explore my mind as a laboratory, I'm able to really develop the art of creating new experiences. Because there's two levels of the mind. There's the thinking and the feeling. And in science at the moment, there's a lot of discussion as to which comes first. I'm not sure it really matters myself, but some say the feelings come first that generate the thoughts, and then some say the thoughts come first which generate the feelings. But I think Baba's way is he gives us truth. And as we really reflect so deeply, become lost in that world of truth, we start to churn, and that churning becomes a feeling and experience internally. And I, when I began, and I often have shared this experience, I, as I have mentioned, I started in London, and I was sent to Madhuban after a few months. I was only a few months in Gyan. And I had a meeting with Baba in the History Hall. And Baba spoke the Mauli. There was probably a third of the people that were in this room at the moment. And Baba spoke the Mauli, and then the foreigners were asked to come and sit in front of Baba. There was three of us. The foreigners' season was three. Times have changed, haven't they? It was so sweet. And my experience was I sat in front of Baba, and you can imagine I was really new. I was 22 years old, just a few months, and Baba gave me drishti. And I had the experience that Baba's drishti was almost like a laser beam that went so deep into the soul. And it's like Baba's drishti just scanned the memory track of the soul or the subconscious. And his vision fell on the original me, the elevated me, you know, whatever you would say. And it's almost like Baba's vision massaged that to the surface. And I really had the experience of, you know, my true self and an experience of deep, deep self-respect. It was just such a wonderful feeling. It's almost like a gift, you know, that Baba gave me. And I think that that experience of who I really was absolutely life-transforming. And I feel that it's something shifted in my self-respect from that very moment. And I think that, you know, in my journey, when I started, you know, and I realized, well, I learned that I was a soul. And I can remember walking down the streets of London saying, you're a soul, you're a soul, you're a soul. Who's done that in their journey, you know? It's wonderful, isn't it? It's like a little child. But I really often ask myself the question, if the fundamental study of this spiritual university is to become soul conscious, you know, how far have I really moved on that journey? Because I know for me that when I first started, I did that. And then I started to sort of get myself involved in many other things. But after 10 years in Gyan, I can remember coming back to Madhuban and this huge question came in my mind. How far have I really become soul conscious? Because to me, often we make so many different efforts, and yet when you become soul conscious, you become naturally detached, you have natural good wishes. It's like it's all in there. And have you ever listened to a Sakamoli where Baba doesn't mention soul consciousness? And I think that really our aim is to really do experiments to experience soul consciousness. And one thing which really helped me a few years ago, and I'm going to move over here, was Baba said a few times, children, for spiritual progress, let go the eye of arrogance and the eye of disheartenment, was Baba's words, and emerge the eye of soul consciousness. And I began to think, well, which eye is more powerful? Even after all these years, is the eye of soul consciousness more powerful? Because sometimes it's like a bit of a power struggle inside. And is it let go the eye of arrogance and the eye of disheartenment and emerge the eye of soul consciousness? And I began to think about that quite a lot because it almost seemed to me like there were three personalities inside all of us. And it's like they're vying for power. And two of them suppress spiritual experience, I would say. And one of them is the seed of so many rich and beautiful feelings inside. The eye of arrogance is really sometimes the eye of superiority. And this is like the image that we present to others. And this eye has a whole thinking, feeling, behavioral structure inside. It thinks, you know, as soon as we meet somebody, we compare. So this eye begins to think, you know, I know more, I am right. You know how Baba's often defined arrogance, the feeling that the way I think, the way I perceive things is the right way. But when it comes into my feelings, that's when I know this eye is ruling my inner kingdom. Because whenever I feel insulted, disrespected, not valued, hurt, excluded. Powerful feelings, aren't they? Know that the eye of arrogance is ruling my inner kingdom. I'm being deceived by my own ego at that time. I'm really not under the influence of the original self. And when it comes into my behavior, often I become very bossy, forceful, dominating and controlling. But this eye, which we've developed for half a cycle, as we know, is really a cover for the second eye, which is the eye of inferiority, the eye of disheartenment, the eye of lack of self-respect. And this eye thinks others are better, others are right, others know more, others don't love me, others don't accept me, others don't respect me. You know, all this sort of thinking. And when it comes into my feelings, as Baba said, disheartenment, hopelessness, feeling unworthy, inadequate, those powerful feelings, which, as I was saying, they suppress a lot of my ability to experience. And then when it comes into behavior, that's when I start to feel a victim. And when Baba was talking about this, I began to feel how, you know, these two have dominated me for so long. And Baba's telling us to emerge the original I. And often I feel it's not about fighting my ego and my lack of self-respect. It's actually about doing the work to really deeply plant the seed of the eternal self. Because my own experience is when this is influencing the arrogance and the lack of self-respect, I'm under the influence of sensual, emotional, intellectual experience mainly. I can't have much spiritual experience. So when I meditate, I think, I don't really experience. And even those thoughts might be pure thoughts, so I feel a little bit better, but I'm not really tapping into the rich, deep experiences I need. So this original I is the soul, of course. And I think my own experience, when you go deeper and deeper and deeper, we come across the refined forms of the eye of arrogance and lack of self-respect, but we come to this sweet place where really I have the experience of being, you know, the eternal soul. I move through the jungle of excessive thinking and have this really, really sweet experience. And I think that what I feel the foundation of spiritual experiences is really the depth of soul consciousness, at least the first step. And I love to do experiments. Can I ask, who does experiments in the laboratory of your mind? Because I think often, you know, someone used to run seminars and he always had this little saying, you know, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. And it's, if you always think what you've always thought, what's going to happen? No newness in your experience. We've actually got to be really creative. And I've done three main types of experiments to really, and I keep asking myself, how does it feel? How does it feel? To break down the walls of sort of these rigid impressions and really start spiritual experiences flowing. And the first is of the form of the soul, to be this minute point, and I absolutely love it. And I remember once I heard a Sakamuli where Baba said, children, wake up in the morning and start to think you're a tiny soul and become smaller and smaller and smaller. There's nothing smaller than the soul. And then Baba said, let go more, become smaller. The soul is infinitesimal. And the whole Muli, Baba was coaching us to let go, step back, withdraw to become this minute seed. Because when we learn this art form, it will automatically start to emerge these rich feelings of peace, these really rich feelings of sort of contentment, so many rich feelings as I start to move out of the influence of the eye of arrogance and the eye of lack of self-respect. It's automatic and natural for the soul to experience. And then the second type of experiences or experiments I've done are what I call the nature of the soul, to be incorporeal, to be eternal. And the incorporeal one I find really wonderful, because when Brahma Baba left his body, in a way he summarized 32 years of the number one effort maker in three words. Do you remember? They're the famous three words of the Brahma Kumaris. What was the first word? Incorporeal. Viceless and egoless. The first thing. And once I asked Didi Manmohini, I said, Didi, there's so many efforts to make in this life. Where do you start? What's the most important effort? And straight away she said, for me, to be incorporeal. And I do these sort of experiments over months, and I just try to do one thing properly. You know, where you're just going about your day and you're just exploring, learning, trying to fathom and move it deeper and move it deeper, so you carry it with you through your life. And I found the more I taste, and I like that word, taste the feeling of being non-physical, then it's almost in a natural way the experience that nothing of the physical, nothing of the corporeal can influence you. It's a natural state of detachment. You're involved, you're connected, you're communicating, you're close, but you're naturally uninfluenced. Who wants to be uninfluenced by everything in the world? I think, you know, most of us, that's what we know, it's what we want. And often when we sit, you know, we sort of think, you know, I must be detached, I must be detached, I must be detached, but guess what? I'm not. You know what I mean? It's like, and so when we go into the depth of this first lesson and we explore and we experiment, it starts to emerge rich feelings. Even I remember Daddy Jenki saying once that eternity is like the essence of soul consciousness. And you know, my experience is if you start to really explore the feeling of always existing, the result? You feel fearless. You feel absolutely fearless. A natural thing. So it's like if we start to experiment and we start to go into the depth of these things and we really sort of take experiments over a period of time, we start to flush out new feelings. And sometimes I feel when I'm body conscious, it's like I'm on the lift on the ground floor. And your perception of everything is at that level. The more you really explore and go deep into this first step of this spiritual journey to be a soul, it's like you go up to the first floor, up to the second floor, and the way you interpret and perceive everything begins to change. And to me, this is the absolute fundamental, you know, aspect. And I remember, have you ever heard Daddy Ratan Mohini talk about the early days of the Yajna? The atmosphere Brahma Baba created, you know, he created such an atmosphere of the practice of soul consciousness. You know, they'd wake up in the morning, I the soul have incarnated in the body, you know, I the soul, you know, take my bath, I the soul walk, I the everything, because the addiction is so deep. And if we don't do that work, then often we don't have quality meditation, because that step is essential to really link with Baba. And so then sometimes I think we lose the confidence to have good meditation. And that's why then often we start to get lost in service and lost in responsibility. Because if I'm not really successful, you know, spiritually, or in my meditation practice, or it gets a little bit boring, I have to have another avenue. So it mightn't be a gross form, but actually in a subtle way I start to explore different experiences again. So what I'd love to ask you to do is if we can go into room 8, if we can all take our, probably we won't need our books or our pens or anything, and we're going to go in and just have some experiences next.